You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Hey Kids Comics for another day. It's Friday. It's actually our last show, I think.
For a few weeks, anyway.
For a few weeks. End of the summer session. This is Martin Bruda here, and today in the studio we've got...
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle.
Chris Gilpin.
Excellent.
All right.
So, comic books.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, I think what we should start today by talking about is... Marty, you put together a really cool thing here for the future of Hey Kids Comics. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, basically what we got is... I've been doing some reviews for a website called First Comics News, and they've decided that they'd like to pick up the show and host the show a little bit as well. So not only are we at heykidscomics.ca, not only are we at the lovely Trent Radio every Friday, possibly every Saturday in the fall, whenever, but we're also going to be at firstcomicsnews.com.
Yep, that's really exciting.
On a regular basis. So we just got the last two shows up, and our... I guess episode 15 was like a little all-Canadian thing that we put together with all the interviews from the previous. That's up there now as well. But everything else is still at heykidscomics.ca.
Well, I want to thank the people from First Comics for bringing us on. And I promise to behave myself.
They've got a circulation, so to speak, web hits. Half a billion hits a month.
Wow. Before you know it, we're going to be more popular than Kevin Smith.
There you go.
Well, I doubt that.
No, probably not. So.
No problem. But yeah, thanks a lot. We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So it should be good. Like I said, I've been doing reviews for comic books and stuff and featuring some Kickstarters on that page as well. So, yeah, if you go to firstcomicsnews.com, you'll get some lovely information. And you guys get... podcasting credits.
Hey, I saw that today. That was pretty cool. I love that. Makes me feel kind of important. So,
there you go. So now that we're south of the border, we have to be cognizant of the fact that the American culture is slightly differently than the culture up here in Canada. So if we say a lot or take off, you hosers or whatever, then...
Or we say about.
About.
You know what we do say about. In the job that I'm working now, I talk to Americans all day and I notice...
Yeah.
And they always say, are you in Canada? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, because you say a boot.
Well, I still remember the one story I always have of Neil Adams.
Yeah.
So I got Neil Adams to sketch me one of those cover sketches. And he said, you know, no problem. Have a seat beside me. We'll chat. We'll do the sketch. But if somebody comes up to the booth, I'm going to do a quick autograph. And we'll shoot the poop and do an autograph here and there. I'm like, okay, fine. So a few people came up. He's, hi, how you doing? He leans over to me and goes, you Canadians with your A. And I said, take off. We do not say that all the time. He goes, you do too. And I'm like, no, I don't. He goes, watch. So the next person came out for a signature. And every time they said A, he would stick up a finger and kind of smack me in the chest with his hand a little bit. Well, he must have been up to like 15, 16 before I finally said, okay, we say A. We do.
Can you clarify when... Neil Adams said, go ahead and sit right here beside me for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take a break and sign autographs. You just didn't say, okay. You were like, okay, Mr. Adams.
Well, the first time I met Neil Adams was actually at a fan expo. It was at the North Building. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the very first times where you could buy online tickets because I am that old. I predate the internet.
Yeah.
So I bought an online ticket, and the lineup was, typically around the building. And I asked the guy, where do I pick up my online ticket? He got confused. He pointed me to somebody else who got confused. Finally, they said, just walk in. The security guard opened the door. Go to the counter and get your ticket. So I got my ticket. And I'm standing there. And she's like, doors are going to open in a few seconds. So you might as well just wait here. And I'm like thinking to myself, really? There's a big lineup of people that aren't going to be too pleased. So me and the guy that I was going with, Dave Roberts, actually, we're standing there. And the security guard starts ushering people out. And, gotta get in line. Looked right dead at us. Walked right past us. Oh, come on, everybody else. Everybody else except these two guys here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was because we were wearing, like, you know, polo shirts and shorts or polo shirts and whatever. We weren't wearing the typical comic book paraphernalia. So we didn't get chased out. And just as we're standing there, this little short guy carrying this whole whack of portfolios and this tube and stuff, he comes running by and I'm just like, holy moly, that was Neil Adams. Dave's like, no, it wasn't. I'm like, yes, that was Neil Adams. And he's like, no, it wasn't. Yeah. So the doors open and we go up right up the escalator. And right there, top of the escalator, Neil Adams' table set up. He's still frantically putting stuff. And I was completely gobsmacked. I was totally.
What's funny is we weren't hanging out at that time, but I remember meeting Neil Adams at the same fan expo. Yeah. And I remember where you went up the escalator.
Yeah, he was right there.
And
the
there
top.
He was.
Like,
there
I literally, he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, blah, blah. I think I grabbed like a Conan print or something. I just like, So he signed it. But subsequent fan expos, you know, you get that starstruck out of your system. And then it was like, you know,
hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, Neil, how you doing, sir? And he's like, yeah, like this was about maybe about the fourth or fifth thing I got him to doodle for me. Yeah. And he just said, you know, have a seat beside me. We'll just chat while you wait and I'll get it done. And so long as you don't mind. And you know how artists can be at.
Oh, sure.
You commission a sketch and then you come back at the end of the show, but it's not done and it's all this stuff. So I thought, well, geez, not only do I get to sit beside him and listen to him because he's a great storyteller.
Yeah.
Full of poop, but a great story.
Yeah, that's for certain. Yeah.
And then I get to watch him draw it as well.
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah, sure, I'll sit down. But yeah, it wasn't quite as casual as Carlos going, hey, I'm going to see
Arthur Adams this weekend.
We're gonna play a game of Parcheesi.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Yeah.
Should I finish off that story from last weekend?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us.
When we left here, When we left here, we went to Tim Hortons for a drink, and as soon as we sat down, my phone goes off, and it's Carlos. Hey, man, I can't get the sketch. You know, too many people want it. Sign up, 10 people. I knew, and I wasn't that disappointed. But I ended up picking up the sketchbook and a couple prints from Carlos.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it got Gotham. So I was really happy with that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Unfortunately, he wasn't there, that I couldn't thank him in person, but...
What, Carlos wasn't there?
No, he was late, or there yet,
okay.
So...
Yeah, well, that's cool. That's great. It's so good that when we have guys that run comic shops that will take good care of us, right?
Oh, gosh. Like, Carlos brought a whole bunch of those Die Kitty Die in
Montreal. Oh, so excited to get that.
Like, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he picked up a bunch of the Die Kitty Die variant covers from the Montreal Comic Con and brought them here to Ontario and just said to us, you know, hey, here you go. And charged us exactly what they were doing at the table. Didn't, you know, it up or anything. So, yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah.
And then he also brought some Aspen Comics Michael Turner variants of All-Star Batman.
Black and white. Wow, really?
Yeah, so they were $35 and $50 each, which is expensive, but a lot less than what these guys buy them flipping for on the internet.
Right.
So I had them in my hand at the cash register, sent a picture off to someone, and let's call him Little Angel Martin. And he said, those are pretty expensive. Do you really want to pay for the... And, you know... He had a good point, so I put them back. But they were pretty cool, though.
Yeah, they were really nice. But, I mean, what was the color one? $35 and the black and white one was $50?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For a dead guy, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, Michael, can we talk about that for a little bit? Why is Michael Turner, the fellow who regretfully passed away a few years ago from cancer, wasn't it?
It was cancer, yes.
And he's releasing all these DC Rebirth variants?
Obviously, Aspen is just scraping... the bottom of the barrel or whatever, or
like they're just finding
images we've never seen.
They're
before.
Just finding the roughest sketch they can find of his, and then somebody else is inking it, right?
Right.
So they did the Harley Quinn cover, and when he passed, there was no such thing as the movie Harley Quinn. So the ponytails with the colored tips and stuff didn't exist.
Yeah.
So you take a look at his original sketch, and it's Harley Quinn in her onesie, you know, with the actual Harlequin.
Yeah.
things, and then all of a sudden there's a movie head on it. So,
so somebody took some,
you know, calling it a Michael Turner variant cover. Mm. That's a big stretch. Like, I know pencilers and inkers, and but still.
Yeah. Well, talking about the movie, I finally saw Suicide Squad. I know you guys have already talked about it, right?
I took Sophia to see it.
How would she think?
She loved it.
Yeah?
She thought it was great. Sophia's my 12-year-old daughter, and she was all excited about the trailers and stuff. So we went to, last time we were at CBA on Wednesday, we went to the Landmark Cinema there in Oshawa-Whitby, and she loved it.
That's too bad. I really wish I could have gone. I had other things going on. Exactly. But I, you know what? I'm going to tell you that you guys know I'm not a fan of superhero films or comic book films generally. But I had a lot of fun with it. I did enjoy it. I think it was the greatest film I saw this summer. No. But I did enjoy it. And I enjoyed it more than I enjoy most comic films. But one thing that I was the most surprised about is how much I liked Will Smith as Deadshot.
Oh, he was awesome.
He was amazing. And there's so many things going on wrong with... See, first of all, I'm not a Will Smith fan. I feel he's a one-note actor who plays the same character time and time again. And then we've all gone into the fact that, you know... this is the thing. We've talked about this on the show before, and the whole idea about changing a character's race. And we've talked about it. If you can do the character, it doesn't matter what color you are.
Yeah.
Right? And the fact is I could get behind Will Smith as Deadshot. Yeah. I could get behind him. Yeah. You know, the relationship between him and his daughter was perfect from exactly what was in the comic. He was a bit of a scumbag. He wasn't kind of that southern porn staff scumbag that we're used to from the comics, but he had that rough...
Like, no morals.
No moral edge.
As long as he gets paid, he doesn't care.
Will Smith, you know what? It's interesting about Will Smith is the last two movies I've seen in him, first Concussion... And now this, is it just me or is he starting to actually act?
No, he's had some good movies where he's done some acting. Like there was the one about the, I'm going to get in trouble here because I'm not that familiar with the Will Smith.
Neither am I. I've never been a fan of Will Smith.
But he was in that one movie about the fellow that lost his job and was homeless and was going through an unpaid.
The Terminal.
No.
No, that was called Terminal.
No, Terminal was the one with Tom Hanks. He was stuck in the airport.
Oh, wasn't that Will Smith?
No.
Same guy.
No, not
the same
guy.
It's the same guy.
No.
They're the same guy.
No.
Yeah, Tom Hanks had a successful rap career.
Tom Hanks was never, ever Deadshot.
But they were both in sitcoms.
No.
Yes, they were.
The only sitcom Tom Hanks was in was Bosom Buddies.
And Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's the same show.
No.
Anyways,
I'm gonna turn off his mic now.
Okay, yeah.
Like literally, there goes his mic. You can't hear him. He's still talking, but you can't hear him because I did indeed turn off his mic.
All right, there you go. But we did talk about it though. Is like the whole thing. Let's go back to Fantastic Four when I can't remember what his name was. Cuba Gooding Jr. Playing Johnny Storm.
Yeah, the thing is, like you and I were saying the one time, it's painful to watch your character that you are familiar with, like. Just something as stupid as Jimmy Olsen's bow tie. Jimmy Olsen wore a bow tie and a green jacket. That is his character's uniform. I mean, he's been portrayed in comics wearing that same stupid getup for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden they bring somebody else to play the character that doesn't, you know, not
fit
freckled, not red hair.
He's a hip black guy.
And the thing you're going is like, wait a sec, that doesn't work. I mean, like, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, are we... trying to be politically correct? Are we pandering? Are we trying to fill a quota? What's going on,
right?
But then a guy like Lawrence Fishburne comes out and just now, granted, some of the material he had to work with in Batman versus Superman is questionable because it wasn't really Perry White. But he did a bang on amazing, like, I watched him play Perry White saw Perry White.
He's great as Perry White. I love him as Perry White.
Samuel L. Jackson taking over the role of Nick Fury.
Nick Fury, perfect. He's so good at it. And that's how I felt about Will Smith as Deadshot. I loved him. He was my favorite character in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I went to go see Harley Quinn, but I left loving Will Smith.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about what I didn't like.
Okay.
Jay Leto, is that his name?
Yeah.
The Joker. Oh, my God. That was painful to watch. I hated what he did with that character.
Well, the other thing is he's got a bit of a complaint going on the internet right now that a lot of what he was filmed is missing.
Okay.
You're not getting his best performances. You're getting
It's not the best.
But even then, I didn't like the characterization.
It was the take on the Joker that bothered me.
Exactly.
Like the mafia crime lord, the rings, the chains,
the teeth.
The teeth.
Oh, now, I gotta tell you though, I hated Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
I did not like
Jack Nicholson as the Joker either.
I can honestly say that I've never really, the closest I've ever liked to anybody playing the Joker is like Cesar Romero, and even that was like, that's questionable. I guess I like it because I grew up with it. Well, but I don't think anyone, I think the greatest Joker was Mark Hamill.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I could just see all of our heads nodding in the studio. We're all like trying to say Mark Hamill.
And you know what's
microphone.
Amazing is but, that we rarely agree on anything unanimously.
But let's face it.
That's something we can all agree on.
That's an animated movie where you can draw the Joker like the comic books.
But he acted it like is. The comics. He sounded like the comics.
Yeah.
He,
but he was, to put that into you, a real person.
If you look at some of the DVD extras and the Blu-ray extras, you can actually see Mark Hamill in the booth. And he's literally acting behind the microphone. He's hand gesturing and all this stuff, and it comes through in the voice.
He should have played the Joker in Suicide Squad.
You know who should have played the Joker in Suicide Squad? William Dafoe. Have you seen that? They got all these pictures of William Dafoe, and then somebody's photoshopped the face white with the green lips and the green hair and the red lips.
Too much.
And there's
of
like
an age difference.
There's like six William Dafoes, and all of them look like bang on Brian Bowler Jokers and stuff like this because he's got that drawn face and the pointy.
William Dafoe's a brilliant actor. Did you ever see when he played Jesus?
Yes,
that was a good movie.
There you go.
Anyway. Okay. Moving on.
So, what else didn't you like about Suicide Squad?
That was about it, really.
Chris, so, I mean, we can't really assume that Jared Leto went in and said, "Okay, I'm going to be the Joker, and this is how I want to look."
But it
wasn't,
yeah,
for sure.
You got to understand, it wasn't the look that bothered me. It was the portrayal, the way he held himself, the way he acted. I will give it, the costumes bothered me. But it wasn't just the look. I didn't mind the tattoos. I didn't mind the eyes and the lips and the teeth and the way his hair was. The look was okay, but it was the portrayal and the costume choices.
Like
bothered me.
I would think that a role like that, and you bring in an actor to like, it's an overacting role. Like, you have to be big, flamboyant. I'm sure they had discussions on how to play it, and he was part of that process, and they came to some sort of a conclusion, you know.
Yeah.
So I think he was very involved. I don't think it was like the director saying, okay, you're going to do it this way, you're going to do it that way. But I'm sure the director had some input.
Yeah,
there was some other stuff I really liked. I really liked...
Slipknot.
Slipknot.
Throughout the whole movie, I'm like going, before the movie, I'm like, Zoe, my favorite character in the whole movie is Slipknot. Wait till he comes on. Everything changes the moment Slipknot gets on thing. Of course, when Slipknot played his memorable scene, she just leans over, looks at me and goes, "You're an idiot."
I can see you're saying that.
She just looks over me and goes, "You're an idiot."
But you wonder, right? Because you don't see him in the trailers that I can remember.
Oh, I knew the moment.
And when he popped out of the truck, and I'm like, hey, I know that guy. I recognize him from TV
shows.
Yeah,
he's a Canadian actor.
That's kind of cool. But you knew that...
You knew
it was Boomerang, right?
He didn't get the splashy graphics that everybody else did.
No,
he didn't get the exposition.
No.
He is in the advertisings in the comics. You see him there. But it was just a plot point to show them that your head's going to blow up if you try to make it.
One character that I didn't know was in the film and I thought was really done was Rick Flagg Jr., who it was from the original Suicide Squad, and then they brought him into the second one, and he was basically originally the Suicide Squad was a military comic, back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And
It was like Black Hawk, it was kind of like a adventure.
I think it was kind of DC's attempt at doing Howling Commandos,
yeah,
is kind of what it was. And Rick Flagg was the leader of the Suicide Squad. And then when they brought back the supervillain version of it, his son became the military captain that kind of led the team. And I didn't realize they were actually going to, and they did away with him in the new 52 version, which this movie is heavily based on. And so when he sort of showed up in the kind of role that he was in the 80s version of it, I thought that was really cool. And the character they got to play him was really kind of spot on. So for a minor character that's not well known in the DC universe and actually have an actor play him so well, both in the way he looked, acted, and the way he was. Now, Rick Flagg and the Empress were not a couple in the comic, but that worked. It gave it a little bit of level, a little bit of depth, a little bit of explanation. Why?
Yeah, but I didn't buy that whole. I love the Enchantress, so I'm going to do whatever you want me to do.
I don't know. He loves Professor Moon. Yeah, but it worked for me. And now Chris had said this to me, and you were totally right. Amanda Waller. Holy jeez, man. The perfect actress for her. She was cold.
Yeah,
she did. Oh, great. Man, she was great. She's a perfect casting. So Rick and as I said, Harley Quinn was interesting. I mean, she's become the favorite.
Yeah.
But I found her... I didn't find her very interesting. I didn't find her to be as interesting of a character as some of these other characters they brought
Chris
in.
Chris and I, when we were watching it, we were laughing at everything.
I didn't say she wasn't
lines.
A great character. She had... Yeah. She adds so much to the film, but she wasn't the most interesting.
But isn't that a really good part of an ensemble cast, is when not one particular person takes over the movie?
If they do give her own film, I really hope they add a lot of depth, more depth to the character, because she didn't have a lot of layers of depth, Deadshot.
And less Joker.
And less Joker. More depth, less Joker.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it was solid. It was solid. I'm definitely looking forward. I saw the trailer to the Doctor Strange film. I'm definitely on board for that.
Really? As soon as I started seeing that Inception nonsense going on with the buildings twisting and turning.
You don't like that kind of stuff,
do you? I was just
you?
Like, that's not in the comic books. Yeah. That seems kind of
weird.
Well,
as long as
supposed to be like the mystic plane, right?
Yeah,
where
I think
so.
He
leaves his body.
I don't know. As long as all of a sudden they don't bring Daryl Dixon driving in to save Doctor Strange's, good
Sophia.
Enough.
But it did look
enough
good
for me.
I mean,
yeah, we'll see how it goes. So, anyways, I liked. Yeah, I mean, you guys talked about it last week, but I liked Suicide Squad. I liked it. I liked
I mean, one of the complaints that I'm seeing is Amanda Waller. Not during the movie.
Really?
Not during the movie. She was Amanda Waller. But the scene with Bruce Wayne. I mean, if you haven't seen it by now, I'm sorry, but there's spoilers.
Yeah.
Not you, but our listeners. All our million listeners.
Yeah, too bad. I mean...
she was almost afraid of him. Right? Whereas everywhere
Amanda
else...
Amanda Waller wouldn't be afraid of Bruce Wayne.
Didn't you kind of get that when she was talking to Bruce? Like, she was very submissive?
I didn't get that she was submissive or scared. I got this insane curiosity, as in, you know, what exactly, is going on? But then she pulled out that Trump card at the very end. She goes, you know, don't stay up at night. And he just turns to her and he's like, dang, woman. Dang. You know I'm Batman. Wow. You know, just in that face, right?
Yeah.
She's just like, nom, 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 eating her salad.
She just seemed a little more low-key than in the movie.
You know what's going to be cool if they do another Suicide Squad film is the fact that they can bring in any villain from the DC universe. Anyone. I want, you know who I want? I really like him in the Adam Glass version of Suicide Squad, Killer Shark.
Yeah.
I want Killer Shark in the next one.
Because they can easily interchange. Like, Killer Croc could be interchanged. Slipknot, obviously, can be interchanged. Boomerang can be interchanged.
Yeah. But, like, they bring in
Diablo. Like, so long as they keep that core of Waller, Deadshot, and Harley Quinn, and, of course,
Rick Flag.
Yeah. Pretty much everybody else is interchangeable, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Not that those characters weren't great. Like, I love Diablo.
Yeah, no,
I
he was
thought
cool.
He was
he's
was
awesome.
Great.
Now he was from the Adam Glass series. Yeah. Adam Glass created him. I liked Enchantress. I thought it was ironic that in the comics today, Harley and Enchantress are both good guys.
Now, did anybody else other than me get weirded out with the way the Enchantress kind of did her little
weird
kind of when she walked? She kind of did this weird jiggly dancey thing, and it's like she was having an epileptic seizure.
Well, I can understand that she was casting spells, and that's part of casting the spells, but it did look funny to me.
It did kind of like
near the end
little,
when she's talking and standing still, but she's dancing. Well, she's casting a spell, and that's.
But it was very. I guess maybe you know this is one of those cases where it shouldn't have been a white girl who can't dance.
Oh.
So I read Suicide Squad number one.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I haven't read it in very many comics in the last couple of weeks. I've been busy doing
something
else.
About it.
Yeah. I read Rebirth, but I haven't read number one yet.
Okay, so I've read Rebirth and number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
Go ahead. No spoilers. Go ahead. Speak freely.
It's the movie.
Yeah.
Except like it's almost a continuation.
Okay? Yeah.
Like what characters are they using?
The same ones.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't see Diablo.
Yeah.
Slipknot.
Katana's in it.
Katana was there with Flag and Waller, so she's on their side.
I still don't understand Katana's role in this film.
Yeah, in the film, she was supposed to be Rick Flagg's backup.
Well, I get it, but yeah, I don't but get
it's not,
it.
Yeah, it's yeah. not who she is.
I thought she was well done.
No, but I mean to be on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like the character herself was cool.
You know, the actress who they played her, she was like the Katana I know.
Yeah.
I loved that. I thought that was fantastic, but I just don't understand
why she's working with Flagg and Waller.
Yeah, now, you know?
Did any of us read the Katana New 52 series? Like, is there any hints in that?
No, I never read it.
I think I got the first issue and that was it.
No. I was so gone, done with DC at that point that I wasn't buying anything anymore.
Yeah, so it was Waller, Flagg, and Moon Empress was in it.
Oh, is she?
Enchantress.
Okay.
Croc.
Yeah, don't say Empress because what's his name? Mark Miller will be like.
Yeah.
The last time we saw Boomerang. Enchantress was in. What was that? What was that comic that came in a number of years ago? And they were all like magicians, but it was a team.
Justice League Dark.
No, before Justice League Dark, it had like Detective Chimp and
The seven soldiers.
Seven? No, it wasn't seven soldiers.
It had the Blue Devil in it.
Blue Devil was in it, and Enchantress was a member. And then there was Nightshade.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to make Chris
Ragman.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have a whole. I still have those. That's the last time we saw Enchantress. I mean, she was a member of that team.
Yeah, we'll have to.
Was a good book. I liked that book.
Well, Shadow.
Was it Shadow something? Something.
Shadow Pack.
Shadow Pack. That was it.
I haven't even looked it up yet, and that popped in.
That was it. Oh, it was good. It was a good book. I mean, because I liked. I was always a fan of Nightshade, Enchantress, Blue Devil. I've always been a huge Blue Devil fan since I was a kid.
There you go.
So that was a fun series. That was definitely a fun series. Who is that? That guy, he was like, he had a magical sword and a red cape. He was from one of those DC specials from the 70s or something like that. And he was a member of that team.
No idea.
I can't remember what his name was.
No idea.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just surprised they did a Detective Chimp.
Yeah. Detective Chimp's awesome. I love
Detective
Chimp.
What is with DC and the monkeys and the gorillas?
They just love
the
monkeys.
Hey, as long as Arthur Adam draws them, I don't care.
There you go.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's right.
The last really, and I'm upset that this series didn't take off more than it did because it was really good, was the Agents of Atlas in Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Gorilla Man in it and the original Captain Marvel. What was his name? Saturn Boy, I think they used to call him.
I don't know.
Or Quasar.
Oh, yeah, Quasar.
The earlier version.
Big blonde
hair. The early version of Quasar. They had Namorita. Like, basically all these characters from the Atlas era. And they brought him back, and it was a set of miniseries, a one-shot, a trade paperback. The kid got a regular series that only lasted 12 issues. But it was a solid read.
Mm.
It was a solid read. Mm-hmm. Especially the Grill Man. He was pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah.
So, what have we bought this week?
Oh, I haven't bought. I'm going to CBA tomorrow to buy my last month and a half's worth of books. I'm going to lay down $200 and say, Alex, add it up.
I bought too much.
But then what did I buy for you that I gave you today?
Yeah. Yeah, you got me Superwoman number one and Die Kitty Die, a Montreal edition, which was very cool.
It's a very neat cover.
Very cool. Yeah.
Which I read today, my first.
Oh, what'd you think? Isn't it fun?
It is fun. It's obviously throwback Archie type thing, right?
But did you see how they were making such big pot shots at the comic industry today?
Oh yeah, all over the place.
That to me is what's so relevant and hilarious about it.
Oh yeah, they're hitting everybody.
Yeah. And I mean they're heavily hitting Archie, definitely, but they're also going after Marvel and DC.
Oh yeah, everybody. Yeah. All the reboots and the recons and everything.
It's such a funny book.
So that's going to be coming out. It was a Kickstarter thing.
October is when that comes out.
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter thing. First four issues were digital. They're coming out with a trade paperback that they're mailing out. But the series is being relaunched by Chapter House. So if anybody missed the Kickstarter, you can get issue number one in October just through the regular comic shops. I know Fan Expo is going to have a variant cover of number one.
Yeah.
So definitely, if you're looking for a funny, goofy book, look for Die Kitty Die because it's going to be pretty darn fun.
I think it's one of my favorite books I'm reading these days.
It was just the four issues, but they're going to continue after the four issues.
And everybody, look for me in issue number three.
Yes.
Talking about people in issues, what is it with Chris? In Auric.
Wow.
That is hilarious.
I loved it. That was awesome.
I thought that was brilliant. I saw you guys, and there was Chris, and he's like, Okay, for everybody, you don't know what
are you
on
guys
the radio.
Talking about an unreleased comic book that we were not supposed to have seen yet?
No, we wouldn't do that. So let's talk about other things.
So let's talk. Well, can I talk a little bit about what I did this week?
Yeah, go.
All right, so this week, I used to have this website. It's called Confessions Pop Culture Addict, which is www.popcultureaddict.com. And it was very successful for a while, but I kind of, over the last couple of years, kind of let it die a little bit because I've had other things going on. So I've been trying to relaunch it. And I've been doing a writing project in conjunction with the Hollywood Museum, which is on Highland Avenue and Hollywood Boulevard in L.A. And they have me, they're doing a big exhibit right now. It's called Child Stars Then and Now. And I've been interviewing former child stars all week and getting the interviews up there. What is interesting is in all four interviews, there ended up being a comic bent.
Yeah.
Like, whether I realized it or not. The first interview I did was with Kathy Garver, who played Sissy Davis on Family Affair back in the 1960s. But Kathy Garver was a popular voice actress in the late 70s, throughout the 80s and the 90s. And there's three characters she played, which just got me so excited. We only talked about one of the three characters. But she did the voice of Hawkwoman on the Super Friends.
There you go.
She was the voice of Rima the Jungle Girl.
There you go.
And then later on, and this is probably her most famous character that she still gets fan mail for today, is she was the voice of Firestar on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh, perfect.
So we spent quite a bit. I didn't want to talk a lot about it. Like, I didn't bring up Rima and Hawkgirl because she only played Hawkgirl twice and Rima a couple of times. But we really had a great conversation about Firestar and how Firestar is still a fan favorite. She still gets emails. She gets, fan mail. She has people approach her at autograph shows to get signed issues of, like, Firestar comics and stuff like that. And talking about, like, how she brought that voice together. So if you go to my website right now, there is an interview with Kathy Garver talking about Firestar, bringing Firestar to life, which was very, very cool. I definitely geeked out a little bit about that because I love the character Firestar.
And that's another character that was first introduced on TV.
In the TV show. Yeah, Stan Lee created her for the TV series. And then she was...
I don't think her first appearance goes for... I
have her first appearance, actually.
What is it?
Firestar number one. It was a four-part miniseries.
Oh, okay, I have that because Arthur Adams did a couple of covers. Oh, did sorry, he? I okay. do not do that on purpose.
That's funny.
He just did some of the covers. Okay. I just had to say.
The next interview I did was with an actress, Jeannie Russell, who played Margaret Wade on Dennis the Menace, which was, of course, back in the 1950s. Now every comic gets turned into a TV show or a movie. Back in the 50s, it wasn't so much, but Dennis Menace, which was Hank Ketcham's comic strip about a really horrible little boy. And
I think he was more misunderstood than horrible.
Well, yes,
go ahead.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
But you agree. But anyways, Jeannie Russell played Margaret. You can go online and read my interview with her. And I actually compare the casting of her and Margaret to, I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch, but I compare it to Hugh Jackman and Christopher Reeve and Linda Carter as being just so dead on perfect. So we got that up there. The third interview was with Marta Kristen, who played Judy on Lost in Space. Judy Robinson, of course, there was a long-running Swiss Family Robinson comic series by Gold Key, which the show was based on. And the final interview, and this was the biggest surprise. I didn't even know this was going to happen going in. I wish I had the clip that I could play it so you guys could hear me squeal like a girl, which is exactly what I did. I was talking to actress Romy Dames from Hannah Montana, who played Tracy Van Horn.
Oh, my God.
And Tracy Van Horn is a Romy is a popular voice actress, and her agent told me that she had a new project that she's not really allowed to talk about, but she can kind of talk about.
I kind of got, yeah.
And who it is she will be doing...
Are you allowed to say it?
She didn't fully tell me, which becomes a part of the interview. It's going to be up tomorrow.
All right.
She is going to be one of the voices of one of the DC Universe, what do you call those, superhero girls?
The younger versions.
They're doing the cartoon series. Season one's finished. Season two is now going up online. It's an online cartoon series. Hmm. She will be in season three as a character that they have not yet released.
New one.
Okay, so it's not one of the characters that we've seen images of. She's not allowed to say who it is, but the only hint she gave me is she's extremely iconic, and she's already went online to find a T-shirt with the character on it, so when she can reveal it, it'll be on her Twitter account. And, of course, I'm sitting there guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, I'm like, oh, my God, it's Zatanna, isn't it? She's like, I'm not allowed to say. I'm like, no, it's Zatanna. You're playing Zatanna. And she's like, I'm like... And I've been thinking more about it, and this is my question I want to pose to you guys. Iconic female DC characters, like really iconic, that's not one of the DC girls now. So it's not Wonder Woman, it's not Batgirl, it's not Harley Quinn, it's not Supergirl. Who else is left? I'm thinking Zatanna or Poison Ivy.
I think.
Poison Ivy's out.
Not Poison Ivy, I'm sorry. Yeah, and it's not Black Canary because I made a Black Canary reference to Romy and Romy didn't know who Black Canary was.
No, okay.
So it's not Black Canary. So I'm thinking Zatanna or... Catwoman's been cast apparently, so it's not Catwoman. Lois Lane?
Power Girl?
Ooh, Power Girl. Yeah, it could be Power
Hopefully
Girl.
A little tamed down version of Power
yeah.
Girl.
Yeah, yeah, I never thought of Power Girl. Very good, very good. So apparently iconic character, but she wouldn't tell me who it is. But when she said she was part of this project, I just screamed. I'm like, oh my God! Ah! It was because I didn't watch any Hannah Montana, yeah. But now there was something that the two of us could...
I watched it with my children.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, I knew the character, and actually she talked to me in that voice, and I giggled like an imbecile. It was. She is one of my new favorite people. She is so
I see that she
adorable.
Was responding to some of your comments.
Yeah, and then she sent me a message this morning with some photos, and yeah, we're kind of chitter-chat. And you know what was cool? Talk about bad. It was funny. She was telling me how one of her favorite shows growing up was Batman Animated Series, which... was a big deal to her, and she was telling me how when she went to Comic-Con and stood in line forever to get Paul Dini's autograph, and of course, then I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, he's a friend of mine. I've been to his house, and she's like, what? Are you kidding me? And I'm thinking, and then I'm thinking, well, next time I'm in L.A. and I have dinner with Call Misty, maybe I should just write her, hey, why don't you come have dinner with us? You know, come hang out with us, you know, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, she's awesome. She's such a hoot. Like out of all the interviews I did this week, she was my favorite.
Oh, that's
and
good.
It was funny because I don't know the show. I don't know Hannah Montana, but she is a DC Universe girl. What's that called? I don't know what those are called. I love them. Marty's already been to Walmart looking at them, and I've already ordered a set. But anyway, but yeah, that was my week. And it was cool how. It's so funny that when you talk to people in pop culture, how somehow it always comes back to the comics, no matter what you're talking to them about, no matter what their project is, it always comes back to comics.
So let's go back to Auric. I mean, he posted the frame on his...
Yeah, you can talk about it.
I mean, it's there. It's
all right.
out there.
You can talk
can
about
I talk about
it?
Okay.
We haven't seen the whole issue, just
so
the
here,
one
here's
frame.
The thing.
Some
is,
of us haven't
for,
seen
for
the
people
whole
out there,
one frame.
If, especially the people at First Comics who may have not seen our photos yet... Chris Gilpin is the tallest one of us all.
Maybe a little bit. But.
Chris is taller than all of us. And I swear to God, like, in Chris is appearing in an issue, along with Dan and Marty, in an issue of Orc. And he drew Chris the shortest of everybody in the panel. And I'm
perspective.
Like,
he was on a step. He was a little lower than us. He wasn't shorter. Yeah.
No, I didn't pick up on that.
I think he looks like Kingpin.
I know. I saw that he is Kingpin.
Honestly, I think that with the suit, and I think I'm going to be a major villain.
There you go.
That's what I'm thinking.
Reoccurring character.
Major villain. That's why I've got the suit
I
on.
Saw the Kingpin. He obviously drew you to look like Kingpin.
So we
I
can't.
Mean, there's no way around.
We
that.
Can't say Auric without mentioning Davis Dewsbury and Andrew Thomas. It's their comic book. They came out with issue number 0, number 1. This is issue number 2. It's going to be available at Fan Expo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also from their website and stuff like that. And I'm sure I'm going to review it for First Comic News. But they drew us into the comic book because we've been, you know, supportive of their comic, which is really cool.
Yep.
And so yeah, we've been having a hoot in any of. You know, first we got like this very small black and white image of just the one and a half of us. Then we got a black and white image of two of us. Then we got a color image of two and a half of us. And we got a black and white of Chris's ear. So it's been fun. It's been
fun. Yeah, it's been fun. It was so great to finally see the panel, though. That was just an absolute blast.
Yeah, I'm just semi-upset that these new age hipster, yeah, I'm talking to you, Andrew, digital artists, there's not like an actual original page that I can buy.
You know, that's funny because I may have messaged Andrew and I said, look, man, I want to buy that page before Martin gets to it.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's can't digital. Do it. It's digital. It's like, yeah. Oh, man.
That doesn't mean that we can't, you know, bum the file from him and see if he'll print off some 11 by 17 prints off of it. And that'll be cool to put on the wall.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But yeah. No, that'll be good. Yep, so what else did we buy this week?
I can't remember what I boxed about too much, but I did read a lot today.
Oh, yeah, did you?
You know, I'm doing this unique thing.
It's called reading your comics?
Yeah. So instead of sitting in front of the TV and watching reruns and playing on my phone, the TV just plays in the background and I read comics.
There you
go. It is amazing. What did I catch up on? So Green Lanterns. I'm all up to date on Green Lanterns, which I'm really enjoying. It's quite the
It's a good book, eh?
I
like it.
I love the Red Lanterns, especially Blaze, so I'm right there. Like I think it's great. Especially they have to work together even though they hate each other. And
they're getting together.
They can't charge their rings unless they're together. Like it's good. And I read the first two issues of Jupiter's Legacy 2. Did you guys read
Jupiter's Legacy? No, I didn't read that, no.
Mark Miller and Frank, I want to say his last name is Quietly. That's how
I know who you're talking about.
Those two guys. I mean, I read Jupiter's Legacy, and I loved it. And then they had Jupiter's Circle, which different artists I just kind of stayed away from. But Jupiter's Legacy 2 picks up right after the first one, from what I could tell. Hmm. So if I remember the first series, you've got... I think they were the crew on some kind of expedition, and they find something that gives them superpowers. So they become superheroes in the world, and everyone knows who they are. And then they start having kids. Their kids grow up, and they also have superpowers. But then the kids get together and say, you know what? This is kind of boring. Let's dethrone our parents and take over the world. Right? So these are the good kids, right?
Right.
So they take out some of the original heroes, and not very nicely either. Like it's a pretty intense. The one scene in the first series was just amazing. But anyways, a couple of the kids break away and escape, and now they're recruiting like bad guy villains to fight these kids. It's a great and drawn just beautifully. Mm-hmm. Like I love his work. It's just awesome.
I didn't read too much myself, but I caught up on a few Image books. I finally read A Walking Dead, the latest issue, which I really didn't see that coming. That there was a real twist in that issue. Are we allowed to talk about that?
Are we talking about
Negan's plan?
Oh yeah.
I didn't expect that. That really surprised me, and I thought that was good. And I caught up on the Discipline. There's not a lot to say about that. I still don't know what's going on. I mean, the series is almost over. I have no idea what's going on.
Is there even a story?
I don't think so. I don't think there is. Marty, is there a story in the Discipline?
I have no idea. I read the first issue and I went, oh my goodness.
Okay. That's enough for me. And then I read this other Image book, which I totally forgot what it was called, but it was really good. Yeah.
Holy moly.
I know, that wasn't a very good review, was it? I think those were the only three books I read. As I said, I've been too busy with this writing project. And it just haven't been getting much reading done. I'm behind. I'm at least a month behind on every book.
Yeah,
right now.
I did buy something this week that I know people are either going to love it or hate it.
What's that?
Spawn Kills Everyone.
Yeah, I already hate it.
Yeah.
Not sure what that is.
I mean,
do they still publish Spawn?
Yeah,
it's up like 260 issues.
That has to be the highest comic numbering
Savage
in the world.
Dragon is.
Oh, is it?
Oh, maybe.
Savage. I can't believe they still publish Spawn.
Spawn and Savage Dragon are still going.
But wow. I was thinking of it because like Die Kitty Die, it was aimed at everything. Like, you know. For whatever reason, Spawn's like 2 feet tall and a big head, and he goes to Comic-Con and he wants somebody to make his movie. But every person he sees in cosplay, he thinks is the real person like Darth Vader and Deadpool and the Hulk, and he's killing everybody. So, I mean, it was entertaining, but I know even McFarlane makes an appearance, but doesn't last very long because Spawn kills him. Spoiler. But, yeah, I can tell people are... I haven't bought a Spawn or a McFarlane... Well, I haven't bought a Spawn book in a long time.
Wow, I didn't even realize it was still a thing. So.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And what did you guys think, talking about Vader, what did you guys think of the new Rogue One trailer?
It was, yeah, the international trailer was, yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was very awesome.
What'd you think?
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it could have used some more Ackbar.
What you really need to do is somebody went and took all the trailers that have been released and cut it into a longer trailer and really pieced it all together really well. And that was really wicked, showing all the footage.
Wow, yeah.
So it'll be pretty
good. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Moff Tarkin's back.
Yep,
there you go. With a new guy playing him because Peter Cushing's been dead forever.
Yeah, and this movie's a prequel.
So they have to show him younger.
Yeah, just a little younger. But I thought just put a little bit of more Ackbar in there, and we're good.
Okay,
we're
so good. I have the new Batman in here, but I read up to issue 4.
Yeah.
So I read them again, but I read issue 3,
mm-hmm.
and then I read issue 4, went halfway through, and I'm going, did I miss an issue? What's going on? So I had to go back to 3 and read it, and then I thought, did I miss an issue? What's going on? Because at number 3 is where Psycho Pirate and Hugo Strange show up.
That's the last issue I read.
And then in 4, it's like we missed something. I mean, you can infer a bunch of stuff happened and people are dead and Gotham, Super Gotham, is bad now and his daughter or his sister's crying in the corner. Like, I know Psycho Pirate has something to do with obviously screwing up their heads, but it's like, okay, wait a minute. Is there like a 3.5 issue that I'm missing? I
don't know. I'd have to reread it.
Yeah, it just...
What's this little thing you have here, Marty?
Well, we're talking about Batman.
Yeah,
Batman. Oh, I'm sorry. You be careful before I put that in my mouth.
Jeez Louise.
You better tell them what it is before people start making guesses.
Anyway, so I got a chance to read a few books. One that I read was Lady Killer, the first issue of the second series. And it was incredibly good.
That's the first issue, not a graphic novel?
So what I read the first issue of the second series.
Yeah.
Okay. Never read the first series. Oh, okay. So I went chasing after the original issues. I ended up getting the graphic novel, and I haven't read it yet. But that first issue of the second series was just wicked. The art literally looks like 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, really?
And then all of a sudden, she's spearing this old lady on the porcelain throne with a scissors in the side of the head. And I'm like, whoa, give the lady some chance to finish up her constitutional before you start whacking at her. So I bought the trade paperback, haven't had a chance to read it yet. Now, with the trade paperback, they gave me, this looks kind of like one of the old DC Who's Who. So it's little black and white pamphlet put out about their Young Animal line. So this is going to basically be like a Vertigo Junior. It's almost like they're trying to relaunch Vertigo with this new imprint.
Again?
And the guy from, My Chemical Romance? Is that who this guy is? What's his name? Gerard Way. Isn't he like a musician of some sort? I know he's written some comics. Like he did Umbrella Academy.
Oh, wait. That wasn't from My Chemical Romance. That guy was from... I have the Umbrella Academy. Yeah. What was that guy from?
Anyway. He's the curator of this lineup. Okay. So they're going to have Shade the Changing Girl instead of Shade the Changing Man. Cave Carson and his Cybernetic Eye, which... I'm looking at the little pamphlet, and the art is actually pretty good. Like it's kind of like a comic strip style, cartoony art. So that might be interesting. Space Case, which I know nothing about. Mother Panic, which looks like it's set in the DC universe, because the bat symbol's there, and she looks like she's in like a robotic bat suit, more vampire looking. So I was just looking through this brochure. There's a bunch of other books, but Doom Patrol and stuff like this. I was going to give the whole lineup a pass, but now that I've looked at the brochure, it's like, darn you, marketing, but some of them actually look pretty good.
What's the characters in Doom Patrol? Like, what characters are they using?
Let me see here. That's Mother Panic. Yeah, so the book here is like introducing some of the characters you've not heard of.
So they've I'm just wondering, is it going to be Robot Man?
Yeah, Robot Man's in it for
Elastigirl.
I don't know about Elastigirl, but Robot Man's in it for sure. I'm feeling that the vibe is going to be a little bit more that...
Grant Morrison,
Doom Patrol than, you know, old school adventures. So I was going to give the whole series a pass, but now that I see this little portfolio, I'm thinking, you know, it's not too bad. It actually looks a little interesting. So actually, that's for you to read.
All right. I'm just sorry. I'm just flipping through the comic because I saw an ad for Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
In one of them.
I know Robot Man's in it for sure. But again, I'm thinking it's going to be a little bit more trippy than straight up.
It did kind of look like a period piece or something. Like it was.
Let me show you specifically.
There.
So. Yeah. So that's the Doom Patrol.
So we got Negative Man here. Isn't that what his name is? Or Captain Negative? Or what was a Negative Man?
Negative Man.
And then Dr. Calder and Robot Man. And I don't see Elastigirl.
Obviously, they can't use Changeling because he's... He's going to be in the Teen Titans book or the Titans book.
Oh, that's cool. You know what? I might pick up this Doom Patrol book now that I'm looking at it. I've always been a big Doom Patrol fan.
But now check out the Cave Carson. I thought that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that actually does look sharp.
You know? So yeah, because, it might because, be a little bit of a...
I'm kind of like you. I was originally going to pass on this line myself. Like, I didn't have very much interest in it, but there's some pretty cool looking stuff here.
You know, and just the way that the pamphlet's done up to look like a who's who, it kind of sparked my interest. And so I think some of them are coming out in October. And I didn't pre-order any for sure, but I think I'm probably going to check them out.
I think the only thing I've pre-ordered in the last little while from DC is the, I'm going to be getting the three-part Dead Man's House of Forbidden Love or whatever it's called. Yeah, I'm going to get that.
I got a hard and fast rule now. If it's a miniseries, I'm getting it in a trade paper.
Oh, I still enjoy the miniseries.
Because by the time you get the book, like, I don't know how many miniseries I've gone into where, you know, they canceled it before it was over, like Prez.
I think that's the only one I can think of that they did that too.
What was all the Marvel ones where...
Oh, yeah, the Marvel ones are
the
all...
issues are... Like, what was the... Secret Wars was the last one where they took the last issue and released what they had done and then they...
Oh, sorry. You know, Civil War is still one of the best books being written today, in my opinion.
It can't be because I don't read it.
Me either.
It's a tree falling in the forest. Because I've never read it.
You have no idea what you're missing.
It's a Schroeder's cat that will not be... It will not. That box will not be open.
Well, you had me at cat. Schroeder, actually.
I
love Schroeder. You know him. He's a great piano player.
If you see a trade for Jupiter's Legacy, I'd recommend picking
it
up.
Yeah.
Okay, I will. Yeah.
I've heard lots of good things about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like I said, that Lady Killer. I mean, they won. I want to say an Eisner.
Oh, yeah?
Last year.
Yeah, I'd like to check that out. That actually sounds really cool.
It's really neat. Yeah. It's like a 1960s housewife that is actually a murderer.
Oh, yeah?
And she's all dressed up in like the little June Cleaver dress, and she's cooking dinner, and then all of a sudden she goes out to this Tupperware party and just right in the side of the head.
Make that noise again.
She's cleaning up, you know, bits of gore and stuff.
Oh.
It's just like this stark, you know, you're not expecting it, and all of a sudden it's like... So that's pretty good. I did happen to come across something today that's going to slightly irk Sam here.
Oh, Uh-oh. Shoot.
It's a Captain Canuck comic.
Oh, why is that going to irk me?
Because you don't like Captain Canuck.
I don't like Captain Canuck. Freak out when you guys talk about Canuck. As long as it's something new about Captain Canuck.
Okay, so in the 90s, they kind of tried to reborn Captain Canuck, and they came out with a miniseries called Captain Canuck Reborn. Issue 0, issue 1, 2, 3, 4. The whole thing kind of had a bit of a kerfuffle publishing-wise. Issue 3 and issue 2 are very hard to find. Issue 3 is really hard to find. I'm pretty sure you could only mail order it by that time. Issue 0 was everywhere. I mean, they still have copies. Issue 1 came in like a little poly bag with trading cards. Those bags are everywhere. I feel like they were distributed at Bargain Heralds or a Byway or something. Because really, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
But what they also did was they released in Quebec a French version of 0 and a French version of 1. So these are like mystical white whales in our community. We've heard that they exist. Someone like Doug Schlupa in Winnipeg, he's had them. He's sold them, in theory. But us more regular, you know, Captain Canuck collectors never seen them. And then Dan found a French copy of Number Zero. And then found another French copy of Number Zero. And then found another French copy of Number Zero. Darn his luck. But he was nice enough to sell me one.
Oh, yeah.
I found a Number One.
Oh, that's French. Great. Where'd you find it?
A friend of mine that I know through the Mego community.
Yeah?
Now, you know, I've met him a couple times at shows and stuff like this. And not like we've been over for dinner and stuff. He was asking about some of the Mego figures I've been selling. Because I've been kind of getting out of that part of things. So I've been selling that collection off. And I just happened to mention that I was looking for those amazing Spider-Man police freemiums that came out. The what is it?
Skating on Thin Ice.
Skating on Thin Ice and Hit and Run and stuff.
Awesome.
And I'm missing issue 4 in French and I'm missing issue 5 in French. So I said, do you have any French language comic books that are not those Edition Heritage? He goes, oh yeah, I've got those. So I got issue 4 in French. I got issue 5 newsprint version in French and glossy paper in French.
Wow.
And then just off the top of my head, I said, do you happen to have any Captain Canucks in French? He goes, yeah, I think I do have one. I'll have to go look in my warehouse. Now, you know, somebody who has a warehouse is like, whoa, hello.
Yeah.
So he went digging and not in his Captain Canuck box, he found it. So he's still going to go back and take a look in his Captain Canuck box, see if he has more.
More, but yeah.
At this point in time, he just had that. So I'm like, trade anything you want, whatever you want. You want a power, you know, you want a Planet of the Apes astronaut helmet? Here you go. You want the Wonder Woman Mego? Here you go. Like, whatever you want, I need this Captain Canuck. And that stuff came in today, and it's just fantastic.
Isn't it great? Isn't it a giant relief when you get something like that, when something you've wanted for so long, and all of a sudden it's there, and it's in your hands, and it's your home? And it's just like a...
Like, as far as the collection goes, there's like, the only thing I'm really missing for the collection, like, some of the more modern stuff, I think I'm still waiting for that Saskatchewan version of, what was it, with the Aurora Man on the cover. Can't remember whether it's Captain Canuck or all-new Captain Canuck. But in the old stuff, the only thing I'm missing is that 30-only copy of issue 4, which somebody was recently selling for, like, $5,000, so...
You know, wow.
I won't be getting that anytime soon, but that's like literally the only one I'm missing. So that was pretty cool.
So, I mean, we have just like under a year-ish to plan to go to Montreal Comic Con. We should budget for that. And
yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Find some French stuff there.
I think like what we've been doing for the past couple of years is kind of hitting up the smaller shows and spreading it out. I'm not sure if next year I want to do Fan Expo or maybe New York.
New York.
Instead, New York. To just do one of the bigger shows.
Well, I won't mention his name, but I'm definitely going to Fan Expo to see somebody's particular.
That's if he shows up.
If he gets booked.
Okay.
Anyways, we're running out of time here.
Okay.
So this is it for the summer session. We will be back in some shape or form. We don't have the details yet. So 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now.
We might be able to get together and even record a special show.
Yeah, exactly. If anything goes wrong, you know, we'll invest in some mics and we'll do this at home. But I kind of like coming in here and losing a few pounds in this sweat box. So other than that, I wish everybody a good week and thanks for listening and we'll see you later.
See ya. All right, have a good night.